This is Seattle Polychick.
And this is Cleveland.
And we're playing with the idea of calling this the non-monocast.
Yes. So for episode 17, we are almost all grown up and even have a name, maybe.
Almost all grown up? Oh, because we're 17.
Yeah.
I'm a little butthurt.
Don't be butthurt. Why are you butthurt?
Because we're talking about butt sex.
Butt sex. So playing with butts.
Yes, playing with butts.
Yeah, so to start things off, if you're getting butthurt about butt sex, you're probably doing it wrong. It shouldn't hurt that much.
Well, unless you like it like that.
I suppose.
You know, consent and sexy and all that.
Mm-hmm.
What are we calling this one? So episode 17?
Butthurt or...
Not butt, so butthurt?
Yeah, yeah. Or butt not hurt.
Butt not hurt. That's cute. Okay, we're so we're going to talk about butt sex.
Yeah.
And butt play. And butts. Butts. Hey! That was a smack on my bottom.
Yes, it was.
So, where do we start?
Let's see. We could talk about what not to do.
What not to do. Yes, what not to do. So, when we were talking about butt sex over dinner tonight, because we roll that way, I was talking about how before I became an anonymous podcaster, I used to work in hospitals as a biomedical engineer, and I would travel all... Your ice is noisy. I would travel all around and go to ERs, and ERs always have, like, this book or drawer thing or whatever. I don't know what they do now that it's all digital, but back in the Stone Age 10 years ago, they had this book or drawer or whatever that would have pictures of all the really funny shit that people did for x-rays, many of which, of course, involve items up people's butts.
So, you know, things like your, you know, standard garden variety light bulb, which for some reason people Sick. Like putting up their butts.
Yeah. What's up with the light bulb up the butt thing, dudes? People? Items?
The fact that they actually, allegedly, there's a tool that they have that can safely remove light bulbs. That there's enough light bulbs being stuck up there that someone made a tool to remove them.
Oh, no, that's a thing. Like, every hospital I've been at, they have a picture of somebody with a light bulb in their ass. Because the other awesome thing that people don't notice about light bulbs is they don't have shoulders.
It needs a little flare at the end.
A little, like, base or something. Something big that it's attached to that doesn't fit up your ass.
Yeah, so it doesn't accidentally fall in.
This is why butt toys always have that, like, flared bottom thing.
Mm-hmm.
We should call it a flared bottom, because that's funny.
Okay, a flared bottom.
Okay. Hey, my butt bottom's not flared. So, butt toys have this flared bottom, because when a person comes and they have things in their ass, your ass, like, sucks it up.
Yeah, it's basically your sphincters, and you do have two of them up there. There's the inner one and the outer one. Mm-hmm. And kind of like if you feel a woman coming and, you know, how, you know, the vagina gets all, like, contractions and stuff, mm-hmm. the exact same thing happens in your butt.
Except there's no, like, back wall.
Exactly. It just keeps on going.
It does. Which is why you end up with shit like Buzz Lightyear in your rectum. Well, not your rectum, in your colon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just because you say to the doctor, yeah, I'm cleaning naked and I slipped and fell and I lodged Buzz Lightyear up my ass.
He just popped right in with the lube. I don't know how it happened. I was just, you know, I had an itch on my bottom, so I put some analies on it, and then I was cleaning the house. Yeah, we don't believe
naked.
You. Naked, yes. Cleaning the house naked, and it was the one in a million shot.
And you just wouldn't believe what happened next.
Which is even funnier, because then we have to call everybody we know into your space and have them pretend to, like, look at your chart or clean your room or something so they can all look at you because you are funny. Because now you have a funny story for why Buzz Lightyear's up your ass. Like, Buzz Lightyear being up your ass is funny enough. But, yeah, so flanged toys, my friends.
Mm-hmm.
Flanged toys. So what could you use around the house to put up your butt that's better than a light bulb?
Well, not that I would recommend it. I mean, there's things that you could find in your kitchen.
Oh, yeah, like a carrot or something?
Yeah, carrot doesn't have a flange, but at least it doesn't. It doesn't.
It's not made of paper thin glass?
Yeah. Like, it's not going, like, it'll eventually biodegrade in there.
Well, you're probably still going to get surgery, but I don't know. Maybe you could talk people into saying that you've swallowed a carrot whole.
Yeah. let's see, you were saying, you know, some varieties of eggplant.
That might work. And because especially, it's bigger at the end. Some squashes might be nice. They're kind of flanged. You know, you could work something like that.
I have some motor oil at home that has a... That has it's an appropriately shaped bottle. It has a shoulder.
Flanged?
It has a shoulder.
What motor oil has a shoulder? It's like a bottle of shampoo or something.
No, this is Redline motor oil. It Google it. The 1-quart containers. It has a flange. It's even ribbed.
What? I'm checking this out. To the Google.
Let's see. Where is my Google?
Oh my god! Oh my god! It has a big bottom.
It does, and it's a lubricant.
Yeah, that's handy.
I'm not sure if it's condom safe, though.
Oh, shit, that's right, because oil and condoms.
But I guess if you're fluid bonded.
Fluid bonded with the motor oil. Only you. That's awesome. Yeah, you could use that.
I wouldn't recommend it.
A handle of something, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
That would work?
It's unlikely that you'll get the whole broom up there.
Yes. When you suck on the thing, it'll have, hopefully, the little straw part will be sticking out. So, I picture like a Marvin the Martian head.
So, good.
Yeah, so don't...
So those are things that you should not do. Or at least how...
Like Buzz Lightyear.
Buzz Lightyear, not so much.
Light bulbs.
No.
Tiny carrots, maybe not... But that would be better than...
You could probably shove them out. And wait for the next BM to happen.
God. Now I'm picturing all kinds of random household phallic things. I'm like, corn. Ooh. cornholing.
I watch your corn.
Oh, my God. I'm a 9-year-old boy. I forgot to mention that. So, good times. So, what if I, where can I procure, like, proper things to put in my butt?
The friendly neighborhood sex toy store.
Nice.
It's probably the best place. And there's a lot of different things that you can do. There's, you know, the simple things where it's just like, you know, a little butt plug. Those are shaped so that they, you know.
Plug your butt?
Yeah, and... It's kind of bulbous at the end and with like a narrower middle. And that's where your sphincters kind of catch so it doesn't fall out.
Nice.
There's the ever popular, strap-on dildos and stuff.
Nice. Yes. I just blogged about this, actually. I want a strap-on very badly. I think I picked the one that I wanted. What was it called again? It was like a jock... Spare parts or something?
Yeah, the Jacques strap.
Ooh, fancy, Jacques. It's a like Jocque.
Yeah, I think it's a Jacques strap.
Oh, I get it. It's a Jacques spare parts. Oh, I like it though. It's sexy.
Mm-hmm.
Can I talk about my harness that I want really bad?
Sure.
Okay.
Even though they're not sponsors yet.
But they could be.
As could Redline Motor Oil.
As could Redline Motor Oil. You know, the non-monocast brought to you by Redline Motor Oil because we could be put up your butt.
Safely.
Safely.
Without getting sucked in.
As long as you're fluid bonded with us. So my harness, I had thought that I wanted like a fancy schmancy leather one, and I probably do someday. I don't know. I might want the, they have that other one. It's the, it's also a, like a jock. It's like J-A... Q,
yeah,
UER or something, Jacquer or whatever.
The problem with leather is cleaning it.
That was my issue. My other thing, this particular one that I want has a seemingly list of the who's who of, you know, strap-on harnesses. So it has this ring that holds the dildo that can mm-hmm. be changed out with, like, different size rings. So you can use little tiny jocks or little big jocks, or I can scare the crap out of Cleveland with my jock. And it's washable. You can just throw the whole thing in the washing machine. It fits really slim to the body. It doesn't have, like, buckles or snaps or things that, like, irritate people. I had a ex who had a harness who had these, like, buckle things right on the either side of the – where the dildo was. And it would kind of rub, you know, your labia in a bad way. So it doesn't have any of that. It has little pockets above and below where you put the dildo. So you could put, like, vibrators or various things in there. You can fit, like, a – what's that one? The vibrator that – you can fit between I mentioned it earlier that I
thought a fieldo or
oh that's the dildo that has the part that goes inside the woman. It's the vibrator thing. It's the
magic bullet thing or
that or the Wii Vibe. Yeah so that would work. And yeah, of course they have jocks that you can put on it. This particular one can be worn with a double-headed dildo also. So you can get something like a fieldo, which would have a part that would insert inside me. And hopefully it's curved and kind of rubs the G-spot kind of thing. And the part that would stick out that I could impale said things like, you know, Cleveland on. So I would feel that motion. I think I would actually kind of be okay with the part that goes in me or not. I don't really know.
I would imagine that, not that I have a vagina to talk about, but I would imagine that it would feel rather good.
I would think so, but I also think there could be situations where I don't want the fieldo. So I've used the fieldo. I didn't have a harness with it, but I've used the fieldo. And I found that after a while, I sort of took it out and just used it with my hand because it was a little bit distracting to, like, kind of have that motion. It doesn't totally translate for me. The motion that I'm using to fuck somebody and the motion inside. So I don't know. I'm kind of thinking my first one, I'm not going to get a fieldo. I'm going to get like a non-insertable thing and just use an egg or something if I want some kind of stimulation. But, you know, everybody's different. So let's just be.
It's something to try out.
Yeah, totally. That's kind of the lovely thing about interchangeable harnesses.
Detachable penis.
Yes, I will have a detachable penis. Oh my God, I'll have to get that song playing in the car with my new harness. I could wear it underneath my clothes, they said. It shows that. It's pretty sexy.
So you'd just be walking around the street sporting a big old Woody?
Yeah. Or they have soft ones that you can put on, you know. So if I was a transgendered person or something and I wanted to have my penis, you know, they have the soft kind. You could soft pack.
True, but I'm thinking from an anal play perspective.
Anal play, yes. I would be soft one. With a big hard on. Well, some places that's acceptable. Strip clubs and whatnot. So that's kind of exciting. So with the harness and with a dildo, we could try pegging. Which is
enjoyable.
A fun idea.
It is enjoyable.
Nice. Tell us more.
I've done that before with my wife, and it is a lot of fun. It's something that you kind of have to work up to. Like, you don't want to go into the sex shop and buy the biggest, most realistic looking cock out there, because despite what you see in porn, most people's butts just can't handle the, you know, gorilla-sized, you know, bludgeon that you can go and buy at the sex toy store. And you probably want to start small. And they actually sell, and if you want to go for the big things, they actually sell things that will, like, progressively, you can use to, like, stretch, like in, like, quarter-inch increments.
Really?
Yeah.
Stretchers.
If you Google anal dilator.
Dilators. Nice.
Then they do make those, and you can use that to try to
work your way up.
Yeah.
Nice.
The biggest size, it's like a 2-inch size. So what I've read is that you use that as like a warm up for like fisting.
Holy shit. 2 inches as a warm up for fisting.
Yeah.
Hmm. I just made a fist. I'm not sure that computes.
Well, no, it's... You have to... It's 2 inches like around as opposed to like your fist where it's like kind of irregularly shaped.
Oh, like diameter.
Yeah.
Hmm.
It's pretty big.
It is pretty big, actually. Damn. Yeah.
Just saying.
Hmm.
Like, I could bring one over.
That's right. You have a 2-inch dilator?
It comes in a set.
Oh, you have the set. Yeah. Why am I not surprised? So, people, one thing you should know about Cleveland, I'm going to totally out him here. Cleveland basically owns a sex store, like, in his house. I don't know how this happens. I think you and your wife must buy each other, like, all the things for every, you know...
thing.
Happy anniversary, honey. Happy Valentine's Day. Oh, it's Arbor Day. Here's a wooden thing. But, like, all the paddles, all the implements, all the gear, you have it. Which doesn't totally surprise me, because you're sort of a pack rat.
But you like the violet wand, don't you?
I do like the violet wand. You need to bring that over. We haven't played with that in forever.
I know. That's another podcast, though. Electric play.
Ooh, yeah. I think we should do some electric play and then talk about electric play.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. It was super hard to talk me into that, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway. So, butt play. So, how do you make it more comfy? Like, what are some tips maybe for pegging or anal play?
Something that I've noticed for me is vibration definitely helps relax things.
Really?
That's been my experience. Your mileage may vary. But if you have like a vibrating dildo, then at least for me, it tends to be a little bit more pleasurable. Huh. Not only that, but once it gets far enough in, it's the vibrations tends, it's like going for the prostate types play at that point. So that also,
curious.
So that also is like interesting. So it's like, it relaxes, and so it's easier to get in, and then it starts like massaging other parts.
Hmm.
So it's like doubly good, at least for me.
Interesting. I haven't had a lot of luck with vibration anally. I tend to only be able to kind of tolerate really small toys if they vibrate. It's like too much sensation. Hmm.
Interesting.
So, yeah, that's interesting. I don't have a prostate, though, so I wonder if that's the difference.
Hmm. But you have a G-spot, which is similar.
I do. I don't have the luck that some women have with my G-spot being stimulated through my rectum or through my anus. I know some women have that, you know, from backdoor fun. They get a lot of G-spot stimulation. That's not my experience. I do come from it. I do have some pretty... amazing orgasms from anal play, actually.
Which I guess that is an interesting thing to just segue into. I know we've mentioned it in the previous podcast, but the whole notion that, you know, the clitoris has essentially these two legs that extend down on either side of, you know, your labia and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it keeps on going down further, like further back. And
like near your booty.
Exactly.
For some people.
So it's just something to keep in mind that you actually can orgasm like that.
I think I have a different orgasm from anal. I mean, I think that clitoral legs are probably involved. I wonder, actually, we were talking about this earlier, the different orgasms, the A-spot orgasm, the really, really deep one that's kind of like by your... clitoris, or not clitoris, your cervix. Really deep in near the cervix on the front wall. I kind of wonder if that one's involved with me.
Hmm.
Because it's a lot of personal information, but I tend to be more wet from anal orgasms than from other types.
Hmm. More squirty.
I am more squirty with anal orgasms.
So let's see what other interesting things.
Oh, other things that make it easier. Lube.
Yes. So lube.
The thing I keep hearing from all the sex ed podcasters and researchers and peoples is if you think you have enough lube, put some more on.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. unlike a vagina, your butt does not make its own lube.
It's not self-lubricating.
Nope. And in fact, you could almost say that it tries to like squeegee off lube. So.
Oh, God. I love that mental image. Freak. Freak.
But if you think about it, it does exactly that.
Yeah, it does. As a matter of fact, it's a tight little ring that squeezes off all the lube.
A squeegee effect.
It does.
I've never heard it described like that, but.
We will now refer, henceforth, to the need for butt lubrication as the squeegee effect.
Or to overcome the squeegee effect.
To overcome the squeegee effect. So, back in the day, I tried to have anal sex with my ex-husband. Mm-hmm. I've written about this before on the blog, but it was been a long time. My ex-husband was a particularly endowed individual, and I took that to mean like Mount Everest. His girlfriend in high school had been able to do it, and he described it, and I was an insecure little lass when we first got together, and thought, oh my God, there can't be things that she did that I can't. And I tried to climb Mount Everest. I did. I really did. Lots of play, lots of toys, lots of foreplay, all the different lubes, all the different things to try and have anal sex with my ex-husband. And it just was not really successful. We had one time when it was successful that we both had a good time, but in general, it ended in blood and tears. Mm-hmm. But while we were doing that, we tried a bunch of the lubes, and you were mentioning that some of the lubes for anal play will have like desensitizing effects and stuff.
Yeah, the last thing that you really want to do is
desensitize part of you for sex.
Yeah, because one, and desensitizing it, as much as you're taking away potential pain, you're also taking away pleasure. Mm-hmm. On top of that, if you're taking away the pain. Pain is your body's way of telling you that something isn't working right.
Right.
So just because you can, you know, fuck someone and it not hurt doesn't mean that you're not doing damage.
Right.
So, yeah. You know, don't do numbing type stuff because it's not good.
Totally. Sometimes, though, anal lubes I found were a little bit thicker or a little bit more, had a little bit more viscosity or that kind of thing.
Yeah, I think that's to try to overcome the squeegee effect.
Indeed. Which I think is a little helpful, actually. Mm-hmm. I think the really, really thin lubes are not terribly helpful for me for anal play.
And what I've found, and this doesn't work with all types of toys, is actually a mixture of like a water-based and a silicone-based lube. Hmm. I think they tend, like the silicone-based lubes tend to stick a little bit more.
Yeah, I like the silicone-based.
So.
I'm a huge fan of, what is that kind I have?
It's wet, I think.
No.
You don't have wet?
It's the silicone one, the one in the black thing.
Oh, yeah, that's wet.
No. It's definitely not wet.
Oh, okay.
It's right next to the bed.
Oh, what black one? Oh, that one. This guy?
No, the black one. The silicone one. I have a number of lubes by my bed.
I see. This is the Pure.
Pure. I love Pure.
P-J-U-R.
Yes. This stuff is awesome. Ooh, wait, let me see. I want to say things about it. So I like the Pure Super Concentrated Body Glide. It's this thing. It's made in Germany. It has a higher grade of silicone than the other silicone lubes. I can't remember the percent, but it's just 100%... good stuff. So silicone is completely safe for your body, completely safe for condoms, completely safe for, you know, butts and pussies and all of that. It's not completely safe for silicone toys, though.
Yeah, it can dissolve your silicone toys.
That's not awesome, because silicone toys can be a little expensive.
Yeah.
However, it's fragrance-free and fat-free and fragrance-free and all these things, right? I just said fragrance-free toys.
Yeah, I have Wet Platinum at home.
Wet Platinum is nice.
It's probably essentially the same type of thing.
Yeah.
But again, watch out because, and especially for toys that you're sticking up your butt, you want things to be washable. Silicone is actually quite easy to wash. It's really durable and it's not, doesn't have a porous surface. A lot of the cheaper toys, they tend to soak up stuff.
Ooh, that's not good for butt play.
No. So you in general, you want to stay away from phthalate-based toys. Or it's a plasticizer that they put into PVC that makes it soft and jelly-like, which is what your typical jelly-type vibrator is made out of.
I had some toys made out of that, actually. And I found that they tend to... Yeah, like they stink.
They stink. That's the easiest way of figuring out if you have a toy like that.
Yeah.
If it smells like plastic, like really, really strongly of plastic. It
smells like old Barbie dolls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then you have a phthalate-based plastic toy.
Yeah, no good.
You probably want to avoid those.
If you do want to use a silicone toy in your butt or elsewhere, and you want to use a nice silicone lube, you can use a condom and just make sure you don't, expose the silicone to the silicone lube, which can be a little bit difficult. Or you can use another kind of lube that doesn't. Yeah. One thing that I would totally stay away from personally is having a...
At this point, we spent about a minute or so searching for the word glycerin. I also recommended that slippery stuff is a really good lube.
Glycerin!
Yeah, glycerin-based. Slippery stuff is not a silicone lube, and it's not a glycerin lube. So it's something that's really safe for everything.
I'm seeing some things here that glycerin is not sugar. Well, whatever it is, it's not awesome for your vagina.
And if you do get a drop of silicone-based lube on a silicone toy, it's not the end of the world. Just don't let it soak there for forever. Clean it off.
Wash it off, yeah.
Yeah. The whole tip for using condoms on toys is a good one in any case.
Oh, yeah, for cleanup especially. Yeah. And especially if you're going to share any kind of toy. Now, silicone toys are lovely. They're not porous. They clean wonderfully. But just, to make your life easier and to be sure, if you ever share toys with anybody, it's always a great idea to put condoms on it. Yeah. Or if a condom won't fit, something like a wand or something like that, you want to go ahead and put like a rubber glove or something on it. I like nitrile because I have latex sensitivities. So you can use nitrile gloves or non-latex condoms if you're like me.
Yeah, and the other good thing is if you're using things like glass toys, and those are really easy to dip in like a bleach solution.
Yeah, and you can put those in wherever you want.
Yeah.
Or metal. I have desires for some of those metal toys as well.
Like the Enjoy stuff.
Oh my God, I want one so bad. I keep listening to the swing set and I'm like, oh, I want one of these. I wish they did not live in the middle of the country so I could go to a party.
Mm-hmm. They're far away.
They're far, far away. Meh.
But let's see, what else?
Well, this is assuming we'd even get invited. what else about the butt? So. Let's see. Oh, I find that going slow and being excited is real nice.
Oh, absolutely. You can't just force your way in.
That's a bad, bad idea.
Again, unlike what you would imagine from just looking at porn, where, some chick is giving, a blowjob, and the next thing you know, she's getting fucked in the ass. What you aren't seeing there is that in between those two scenes, the actress, typically, or I guess if you're watching gay porn, the actor, has done a lot of warm-up to loosen things up, has already probably applied some lube internally. All of these things that aren't necessarily as sexy on camera, but they've all happened.
Yeah. Nobody is like, la, 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 I'm walking down the street. Oh, let's put a dick in my ass. It just...
Oops, Buzz Lightyear just fell in.
Yeah, and butt sex doesn't have to hurt. If it's hurting, something's up. Like you can use more lube, you can use more foreplay, you can go go slower, use a smaller toy or a finger or something like that.
Like a little bit of pain, like this, like the stretching pain. And
that's okay.
It's kind of normal. It's like just, it's like a muscle because it is, you're just stretching it.
Yeah. You're stretching a muscle. And that can be really pleasant actually. Mm-hmm.
But if you're feeling like a sharp pain, whatever you're doing, you should probably stop.
Yeah.
And you know, you could do whatever you're doing next weekend and, you know, make sure you give, you know, give your butt a little bit of time to heal. See what other stuff.
Another thing that we should probably talk about is people who have HPV, which is most people who have been exposed to the human papillomavirus. Mm-hmm. You can run the same risk of, cancers and that sort of thing with anal sex with people with HPV, as you do with like cervical cancers, things like mm-hmm. that. They're finding that a lot of, anal related type cancers are related to HPV infections. So that's another great reason to use a condom. It not only makes cleanup better, but something like, 80% or 70% of people have HPV.
Which is another reason why, if you are a parent, make sure your kids are vaccinated.
Oh, that's
male
right.
Male or female.
The younger peoples. The younger peoples don't have it as much as we do.
Because the vaccines are effective at cutting down the prevalence of the really common strains of it.
Yeah. Let's see. Consent is always nice. You don't want to surprise anybody with anal sex.
Oopsie poopsie.
Surprise boob sex. Surprise butt sex is not a good thing. With all things you want, consent. I'm trying to think. Oh, of course, anal tears and fissures and things like this can happen. Mm-hmm. So it's also greater risk of things like bloodborne pathogens and that kind of deal. So again, maybe even more of a reason to use a condom.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think of any other potential dangers or issues or cool recommendations.
And there's the guy nearby in Enumclaw who...
oh, God.
And this is a story of for why not to put things that are way too big up your butt. At the time, bestiality in... the state of Washington was not illegal, and this guy was having fun with a horse.
Oh boy.
So yeah, he passed away because of that. So
yeah.
Don't try to go too big too fast.
Things like, well, honestly, I hate to mention it, but there is a certain risk of death, you know, for not only horse fucking, but things like fisting the anus, you know, things like that. So it's not just, you know, these freak kind of accidents. There's a certain amount of people that die from that every year. And, you know, it's very good idea to go very slow with stuff like that and be very informed and work up to things and, you know.
And just because you see it on a porn doesn't mean that you should go out and do it.
Absolutely. So. With most things, educate yourself. We sound kind of preachy. We should say like,
How about enemas?
Enemas, oh God. So, I haven't done that yet before.
I have.
You're an interesting shade of red. So, what's that like?
And actually, it's a kind of interesting feeling. I kind of like it.
And, really? Hmm? I've read stories with it as part of the play.
I've never actually incorporated it as part of play, but more just like preparation for. And if you are going to do enema type stuff, you probably want to do it a few hours ahead of time, not immediately before. Because one thing that at least happens with me, and I've heard from other reports as well, is, you know, yeah, you flush things out with water, but not all of the water necessarily comes out.
Oh.
So it could be accidentally extra wet, which probably isn't what you want.
So like with dirty water, kind of extra wet?
Just water.
Oh, okay.
But water also washes off the lube.
Oh, okay.
So
when I've engaged in butt play and had butt fun, I didn't use an enema or like a low fiber diet or high fiber. I don't know what.
High fiber is what you would want.
Low something.
Low residue.
Residue. That's what it is. I didn't, you know, do any of that. It was more like, hey, wanna blah, blah, blah? Sure. So I will say my partners that I've engaged in that with tended to kind of accept it more. I remember I had one circumstance where I had anal sex with a boyfriend, and afterwards, I mean, it was a really great time. We both had a lot of fun. Afterwards, there was a bit of blood and a bit of matter, you know, to kind of be dealt with. It was a little bit gross. Not exceptionally so, by the way. Don't get horror stories in your mind, but you know, if you're going to play with people's butts, you might encounter certain substances.
Yeah, it happens. The reason why having a condom involved, even if you're using, you know, a dildo.
Sure.
Is quite useful.
Yeah, it makes for easy peasy cleanup.
Yeah, same thing if you're using a...
I'm picturing something like a Scrubbing Bubbles commercial right now.
Even if you're using a, you know, a real life penis for insertion, the, you know, condom is another good way of making sure that things stay clean.
Absolutely. Or, well, easier to clean. And, mm-hmm. you know, worst case scenario, too, it's nice to jump in the shower afterwards and clean up a bit. It's probably not a great activity for people who are desperately squeamish and, like, would freak out at the sight of the slightest bit of blood or fecal matter or whatever. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know it's not really sexy to talk about, but, you know, it is kind of reality here.
Yeah, you just kind of roll with bunches.
Pretty much.
Keep around the towel and...
And that's a great... you know, advertisement for making safe sex items sexy. You know, it's actually kind of nice to have anal play with a partner that's wearing nitrile gloves. The gloves slide a lot easier, so it makes the play a lot easier and slipperier, and mm-hmm. it doesn't soak up the lube as much. And, you know, so it's a lot more enjoyable for me when my partner is using, like, nitrile gloves or something like that.
Okay.
And then with a lot of stuff, I've noticed, like, if I use safer sex kind of practices or things or whatever, over time, they begin to become associated with sex for me. Mm-hmm. So I was exploring with needles for a while. And beforehand, you know, you take and you open this, like, little alcohol swipe pad thing mm-hmm. and you clean the area. And it got to be where the smell of the alcohol swipe pad things kind of turns me on because I associate that with, like, ooh, sexy times. So nitrile gloves, too.
The snap of the glove.
Yeah, you know, like the purple hand, the nitrile gloves. You know, watching my partner kind of get out the gloves and grab the lube and things, it becomes very erotic. It's like lighting the candles and putting on the music and getting the Barry White rolling and, you know, kind of thing. I'm sure Barry White would be super thrilled to be, you know, associated with nitrile gloves for anal sex, but whatever.
He could sponsor us.
He could. His, what is that called when you die? Your estate. His estate could sponsor us. The non-monocast brought to you by Red Stripe Motor Oil.
Red Line.
Red Line Motor. I'm sorry. Red Line Motor Oil.
Red Stripe is beer.
Oh, them too, if they want to. Red Stripe, Red Line, all of them. We'll take them all. Yeah. Anything else that's nice to know about? So what's so fun about butt play? Why should we even try it? Like, it sounds like a pain in the ass.
I think the biggest reason is it's just different sensations. Like, from a guy's perspective, it's interesting being on the receptive side occasionally. There's also, you know, just, you know, prostate play in general. It feels interesting. It feels nice. And, you know, it's like, it's just something else to do. And I'm guessing from, like, a woman's perspective, you also have the added sensation because you have nerves where guys don't have nerves. So that's always fun as well.
True. Very true. And I think it's one of those things, right? Like,
It's like more variety.
Yeah. Well, you know, here at the Non-Monocast, we definitely believe in variety. But variety of experience with a person, too. I mean, there can be power exchange with it. There can be, you know, a bit of the naughty, a bit of humiliation, a bit of, you know, taboo. And it just fucking feels good. Mm-hmm. I personally like to use anal play and anal sex and things like that as sort of a, what did we call it earlier? Like an amuse-bouche. I wouldn't want it to be my entree. I wouldn't want it to be all the time. My regular form of sex, personally. And it's definitely not an appetizer. But I think it's a nice little change of pace. A nice little, you know, taco night in the menu or whatnot. Wait, it wouldn't be taco night. It would be, I don't know, rectum night.
Rectum. Damn, you'll kill them.
Nice.
I had to get that in there somewhere.
But it can be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And a little bit of pain can be fun. It could be incorporated into BDSM type activities, which is kind of fun.
As long as you know what type of pain you're dealing with.
Yeah.
Like good pain or bad pain.
Yeah, what you're going for there. So any parting words of whatever?
Don't get butthurt.
Don't get butthurt. That's a good one. So, yeah, this was episode 17, Not So Butthurt.
Yeah, of the Non-Monocast.
Indeed. Let us know if you like the name or the music or anything. Respond in any way if you listen to this podcast.
Carrier pigeon, we don't care.
Say you guys suck or you're not as funny as you think or you need some experts or, you know.
Yeah.
You're awesome. We want to sponsor you.
Give us all your money.
I have a better name to suggest. Whatever.
Yeah. So, until next time.
This has been Seattle Polychick.
And Cleveland.
And
we'll talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye-bye.